Well, it is 12:30, so I think we're going to go ahead and get started as people join us. I wanted to kick it off by just having everybody on our panel introduce themselves and also go around and tell us something that they've learned about themselves during this this quarantine. We're all somewhat familiar with each other since this is our second time together. So I'll start. My name's Sarah Michelson. I'm a project manager with Balfour Beatty. And something that I've learned about myself is I tend to chase emails. So in order to get things done in an age where we're getting a lot more emails than I think we used to, I need to close my Outlook and ignore it for a little while to get some stuff done. So that's been my tactic for success during this quarantine. Yazelle, you want to go next?
Sure. So what I've learned about myself is that I was not as connected as I thought I was with people in the firm. And I thought it would be really easy to kind of be in the space. I have my office, I have all of these things. And I ended up feeling sort of alone, but incredibly connected. And I'm completely overwhelmed with the connectedness, which is atypical as part of this conversation through COVID. But it's making me realize and sort of clarify my direction because there's so much information happening all the time that it's made me kind of get a better understanding of what it is that I want to do and where I want to go, which tends to happen also in crisis. You kind of become very self-reflective. But I'm loving my puppies. It's like all of these things are kind of happening. I'm super connected. I'm thinking about high-level conversations around work. And then having that opportunity to just go downstairs and have that little respite with the puppies is like the best thing. I loved them before, but now I'm obsessed with my two little puppies. So that's kind of fun, I guess.
Catherine, you want to introduce yourself and
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Catherine Farley. I'm an instructor engineer and client engineering. And one of the things that I've learned is that I can do homeschooling, which was a challenge. But yeah, you know, here we are, and it's almost the end of the school year. And I was able to find ways to be creative to get my child to finish that. So I didn't think I was going to make it. So for me, that's an accomplishment.
definitely. All right. Jane, you want to go next?
Yeah, hi, I'm Jane Mahaffey. I'm principal at Stonebridge Associates Real Estate Development. So a couple things I've learned that I need my office. No. I'd be rethinking my retirement plans, but you know, I find that I'm much more of a person that gets a lot done by stopping by my development manager's offices and getting sort of updates. And this whole Zoom world to plan when we meet is absolutely killing me. That I much more prefer in-person conversations and meetings. I think as a manager, learning a lot about how to manage with people's anxieties and feelings more. That it's not just about getting the work done, but making sure, and I hope everyone on this call is safe and healthy also. But really, sort of trying to look at people in terms of you know, what they're comfortable doing in this world and what they can accomplish. And you see, and I'm sure everyone's sort of in one of these categories, but you know, sort of, you know, having struggling to work at home, struggling to have time. Catherine's talking about her ability to be a great teacher to her students that are her kids. But you know, taking Zoom calls with kids flying behind you and all that kind of stuff is a real learned opportunity. So really a lot of people and a lot of staff have a lot of anxiety about their work right now and what's getting done. I think I'm learning to be a little bit more receptive to those kind of issues.
He calls that management by walking around. He's like, oh, I saw that person and I needed to pass them something.
That's exactly it.
I write a lot more lists now than I ever have. All right, Monique.
Hello, Monique Colley with Clark Construction, Senior Superintendent. I would say the things I've learned have very much centered around education and just also communication. One of the things is you can't really communicate in bullet points. I think when we're trying to be concise and get information out there, you're just like, okay, here are the things. And that's not always good enough because people are just getting brain dumps of information from so many sources that giving a bullet point may not completely convey the point. So it's worth giving a little more information. I'd say another thing is things bear repeating right along with that brain dumping thing. You need to, even if you think they caught it, it's okay. You should probably say it again, or that should be like your wrap up point for a conversation. Cause there's a lot going on. And I think really the last thing would be like meet people where they are, because we're in this virtual world right now. You don't know what everybody has to do. Their schedule isn't the same as yours. They might be homeschooling in the morning and, you know, they really schedule the rest of their afternoons for meetings. So trying to meet them in that space and not just tailored to like where your telenetworking, spaces, like schedule is, I think is really important and something to carry through even after all this is over.
Great. And last but not least, Katrina, you can introduce yourself and tell us something you've learned during quarantine.
Can you help unmute me?
Can you hear me?
I'm muted now.
Thanks. It was like, you are not allowed to be unmuted. Okay. Sorry, I was like doing the side of my face. I was looking at your faces up on my bigger screen, but that was awkward because you don't want to look at the side of my face. So, hi. I think like Catherine, I've learned a lot about, or maybe just expanded what I didn't think was possible before to force it to become possible, which is the balance between my husband and I both working full time and then us also educating our two girls at home, 6 and 9 years old. And I have so much respect for their teachers. I really do. Especially seeing as they've gone to this digital teaching now. I mean, it's basically production, it's theater. What they have to do. And I really respect it because they put a ton of effort into it. So God bless our teachers. I always knew I was a people person. Monique knows this about me. I'm a people person. Like, I need to be with people. I never lived by myself because I would have gone insane. I really, the first few weeks, found myself in a big funk. And I realized it was because some of the calls were not video calls and they were calls. And so I started always making sure that my face was on the screen so that everyone could be looking at each other. And I missed people. I just missed them. And I think it makes a difference. I also think it's been nice for everyone, even some more of the starched types, if you will, have loosened up. I mean, all of a sudden, every guy at Clark is growing a beard. I don't know what is going on. They're all becoming lumberjacks. But it's loosened us up. And I think it's nice because everyone's been able to be just a little bit more of themselves. And if a kid comes into the background, it's like, oh, hey, how are you doing? As opposed to like, why is there a kid in the background? It's more of a welcoming environment. And I really appreciate that. And the other thing is that, we had a conversion of a prison to a hospital working with HKS, some of Giselle's colleagues, and in 3 days, we designed that conversion of that prison to a hospital. And at the beginning, I'm like, there is no way. There's no way this is going to happen. Like, it's just, it can't be done. And but of course, I was like, yeah, we can do this, sure. And then we did it. And it was a pleasant surprise because I realized that with the right people and getting the right A team, when you all want to do one thing and you're all aligned on the mission, you can literally do impossible things. And so that was great to be a part of that. I felt proud to be a part of that. And it was fun. Even though it was insane, it was really fun.
Great. So I think we've gained a few more people. Couple quick things. If you guys want to put your videos up, we'd be happy to see your shining faces. And we'll go ahead and get started with the meat of the stuff. So I think the first thing I wanted to touch on, and one of the biggest things in our kind of preparation for this that came up, was just really seeing the generational differences come to light as we kind of moved into this teleworking and working from home, things like people dealing with kids or growing beards or whatever else. It sort of was amplified in this whole process. So, Yuzal, if you want to talk about just how does technology kind of factor into this whole process, and how do you see that being kind of embraced by different people at different stages?
Well, something that we've been, I know a lot of firms are doing this, but something that we've been doing at HKS is we've been doing surveys every Friday. Trying to get as much data as possible from all of our employees now that we're working from home. So we do this really great work from home survey that tries to tackle what is your space, what does it look like, what is your access to it, how do you feel about it, and a lot of the data we've gathered, and we're able to sort it by age and gender and race, and even if it is if you live in an apartment versus a house and all of these things. And something that we've, and obviously because we're working from home, I'm thinking of technology and access to communication and how we sort of connect and do our work. So it's really interesting that generationally, there is a little bit of a divide, which is totally expected. I don't think that's a shock to anybody. That people that have grown up with technology and being embedded in this as being sort of their universe is easy for them. It's easier for them to navigate access. But on the contrast, on the opposing side, younger people are more used to being, even though it's virtually connected all the time, but able to differentiate work versus home, although usually most of them are alone at home. So when we're asking them to connect more, we're doing lunches, virtual lunches and virtual happy hours and all of these things, all of a sudden they're saying, but if I reach a threshold of this virtual connectedness Zoom over 16 hours, it starts to affect work, my well-being, and all of these things. So when I think about this conversation around technology, there is a lot of value in being able to get access to information and being connected. But there is sort of a bell curve where it's a point where there's too much connectedness through technology and not enough sort of the serendipitous communication or separate serendipitous energy that happens when you're crossing somebody and doing something. And these conversations for me have highlighted what it means to just end up having random conversations about things that have nothing to do with work and with anything that you cannot have using technology. Because in technology, you have to actively go, I want to talk to this person. I'm going to schedule this. I'm going to see if they're online and I'm going to do whatever. So you kind of have to schedule everything. But then it loses that spontaneity and that opportunity for you to disconnect a little bit and just feel like you're a normal person and engage in a different side of your brain. So it's hard for me to say, you know, it's one versus the other, but there is a lot of data showing that there is this sort of shift between our assumptions of what it means to use technology to do work versus technology to be social. And they're kind of not one and the same. So I think it's all contextual, but there's kind of a struggle between being connected through work and being able to do your work, and especially managers trying to understand what this new space for mentorship means, and then being a normal person at home, but then alone, and how to use technology in a way that supports connection without it being so systematic and so it's kind of forced. So I just wanted to throw it out there as kind of this strange thought of things that are happening as we start to analyze data that, yeah, it is generational. It's definitely impacted whether you have kids or you don't, whether you're alone, whether you live in a house or an apartment, your access to views and your own access to technology, internet, and all of these things. But so these things are kind of quantifiable, but the greater richness that I think will happen after this is the quality of these interactions and what technology does mean to that. And I welcome other feedback, because I think right now we just haven't figured out exactly what that means. We know something's just off, but what does it mean? And what do we do?
I think Katrina touched on this, right? Where it's like, at first it was just a phone call, and then I figured out I really needed that face to face. I felt that too, where I was like, nobody's stopping by my office and bugging me, right? And I'm getting so much work done, but then I was like, I miss talking to people. So finding that balance there of what's the value add of, yeah, I need to be left alone to do my work, and this is great for that, whereas I'm missing the connectivity of people. Katrina, how did you kind of come to that realization? What was the balance that you found worked for you guys?
The balance on missing the people interaction, you mean, or which part of the balance?
Yeah, like how did you kind of come to the realization that like that was the thing that was missing, was the face to face and needing to be connected to people without having to kind of be overwhelmed by long meetings or kind of the chit chat at the end, or how did that work for you?
Well, the reason why I knew there was something wrong was because I was incredibly grumpy, and I literally was taking an inventory of my day, and I'm like, you know, what is there not to be happy about? I've gotten a lot of stuff done. I've, you know, been able to like hit all the things that I had on my to-do list. You know, why am I not, what's eating Gilbert Grape? What's my problem? And then I realized I missed seeing people. Like, you know, a lot of people come by my office and I maybe took for granted how much that gives me energy. So I just, it was through a lot of self-reflection, which sounds completely scripted and cheesy, but that is literally how I figured it out.
I think I've had sort of slightly different sort of perspective on it. So I'm actually getting nothing done in my day besides being on the Hollywood Squares of life, and was literally up to midnight last night to get my work actually done. So I find from the management perspective, it's very difficult. And one of the ways I like to work with people is to, you know, sit down, look at a spreadsheet, look at the budget and chat. And I'm not technically, I'm the old school, right? So, you know, my theory with all this was technology was not going to take me down. That was my first couple of weeks. I'm on 7 different platforms based on what everybody else uses in the world. I tried a new one today. I hit set number 7 different kinds of platforms to have our Hollywood Squares. I could probably do a really good tech review of all of them. But it's really hard, aside from these kind of conversations and getting through an agenda and a list, that you actually don't get a lot of work done on them, right? And what I've found is trying to find platforms that I can share spreadsheets that we can all like virtually work together. And I think, you know, those kind of things, I think Yuzel was talking about sort of what comes out of it in the end. I think, you know, for some of us, you know, struggling to actually work as a group in the way that you worked. I think that's going to be something that I would challenge the technology companies to, you know, sort of like I used to bitch and moan about BIM all the time, that it didn't really do anything. It was nice words, but how do you manage by BIM? How do you actually use BIM? And I think these kind of Microsoft Teams where you're working with different files that really needs development work. Anyone has any suggestions, please email me because I'm trying to find them. But really, how do you work with people? Not just work by yourself and then get together again, but like literally work as a team, I have found, you know, really needs some technology development.
I know we use Skype, that's our platform. And if you see someone on Skype, I tend to video conference them and share my screen because that's my version of like sitting in a room and looking at a spreadsheet together. And that's been, it only works for some people. Other people are like, how do I get on here? What does this look like? But you know, for the people it works with, that's a good way to just say, okay, I'm looking at what you're looking at. How do we, you know, work through it together? Mm-hmm. Monique, one thing you touched on was kind of figuring out the best way to communicate with people. And I think that's something that this has really amplified. It's a conversation that I think is not a new conversation, right? Like not every person works the same way, but how do you see that this has kind of amplified that and really doubled down on that?
I would say it takes a little patience for sure to figure out what is everybody's, you know, out of, like Jane was saying, out of seven platforms, what are you most comfortable with? Like, you know, do you love BlueJeans? Do you love Zoom? Do you love FaceTime? Like, where do you start with that? And you're also going to find that a lot of people don't like it. Like, they're just like, I don't want to show you my video screen. I want to just get through this. I can see you. We're cool. And then there's the aspect of trying to accomplish something. So quick story. I was working on a utility shutdown and I'm working with my company and also Arlington County and also our design firm. And we're going through the motions. So my design firm is on one platform and I'm like, okay, I can learn. So be it. We're here. And we're doing share screens. And then I've got my trade who's like, no, I have a paper set of drawings. If you want to meet me in the field on the day that you're on site, I will mark them with a highlighter and then go do your thing. And I was like, okay, so we're going to try this a little differently because our schedule right now is where every other day on site. So I was also losing time trying to have like, you know, paper mathematics one day and then trying to do like a Zoom call the next with the designer, and there was this large disconnect. So it came back to patience. I called him on the phone. I was like, you know what? You and I are going to do a practice run and we are going to do this video thing because I'm not the only one who's going to basically come for you who wants to do a video call. So instead of being this annoyance, let me help you. Let me get this roadblock out of your way. So he and I did two separate video calls. And he was chilling in his trailer. He had his highlighted drawings on the wall. He's very excited, but that was also part of his comfort zone to get his points across. And we did two practice calls. He was like, okay, we had an unmute time frame that was tough. I needed like the unmute card that Giselle was like, just put this up, it'll be fine. Yes, that, it's so huge, oh my gosh. So we went through all that and then I basically, you know, it's like those fingers in that famous painting and they touch and you're like, ooh, spark. Got him on the line with me, him, and the design team. And we actually finally got our water shutdown coordinated. It was like euphoria getting off of that call. I was like, yes, we will do this. We will continue to like build it and just like bridge the gaps. But that was patience because he and I had always been on-site people and the drawings on-site were okay, but that's not always okay anymore. So just trying to garner that, you know, you need to be the springboard instead of the roadblock to help get people there is really where that comes in.
I do have to say that I love this conversation. And I realize that my lens is very different because I don't work with people locally. Most of my team is all over the world. So the challenges are very different than transitioning from being a person-to-person on-site kind of a work, an environment, to me is the complete opposite. Now, because this is happening, I'm actually more connected to my team in Dallas and London and India and Singapore and Shanghai than I ever have in my entire life. So my problem is the complete opposite. I'm totally overwhelmed all the time because I'm on calls at whatever time works for them as well. So last night I was on a call at 2 a.m. And the communication, because you have to think globally, has always been forced. And now it actually feels like, because we're all in the same space, we're all suffering from this pandemic equally. So we're all experiencing the world very similarly with the same issues. And now we sort of have a common language. Then now we can engage with each other, understanding each other. So there's, yeah, the equity, diversity, inclusion thing just kind of highlights for me when this happens. And I, all of a sudden, I realize that the people that have always sort of worked globally, and I'm generalizing, but they may be having an easier time with this issue because now more people are forced to think the way they have always thought. And now we kind of integrate versus the people that have always felt more comfortable or had only had to work with somebody on a one-to-one. Now we're kind of all on the same playing field and we're all trying to figure this out in kind of a similar way. So I just thought of a sudden, that's really interesting because my experience is completely the opposite. I'm like, finally, now you all know what I'm doing. And it's actually working out.
Now.
I'm like, oh, now you know that I'm working all the time and not just sitting in DC watching my puppies. So it's so interesting to think about that after hearing your comments, that my experience is on the other side of the mirror completely. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think Monique and I, just being kind of people who are out in the field most of the time, out on site, I'm working from home and Monique's kind of out on site. And so we get kind of two sides of the same coin. And I know the other day I called my superintendent and he was like, I have this issue. I'm like, put me on FaceTime, show me what the thing is. And that blew his mind. I'm like, it's not that hard. It's like I'm there. All right. Well, I think, you know, one of the things that I think Jane, you had touched on was mentoring and how to make sure that we're not ourselves staying kind of stagnant in our careers, but also helping the people that work for us and with us grow. And how have you kind of been successful or been challenged in that during this time?
Well, I think there are two things. We actually had someone start in our firm during this. So, you know, his introduction to the firm was on our, you know, we've been trying as a firm, and again, we're a smaller firm. We have a total of about 56 people between our property management and development firm. And so every 3 weeks we have had a Friday, you know, all company meeting. And what we tried to do just, you know, to sort of keep on the, you know, sort of just globally, you know, everybody, similar to what Yuzel was saying in terms of happy hours, we had gift cards to local businesses that we gave away for funny hats, cool backgrounds, kids, dogs, you know, any of these kind of things to keep everybody engaged and you know, checking in. So it's sort of, we call it the sort of check-in mode with everyone. The second time we did it, we made everyone submit a picture of them somewhere in their youth. And some of us tried to have to guess those kind of things. So that's sort of a global kind of thing to sort of keep everybody engaged. I think that it's been a little bit more difficult on the mentoring, and, you know, we, with this new person, it's been very, very difficult because you go and say, you know, it's in a spreadsheet and he's like, what are you talking about? And it took us 2 weeks to get him on our company, you know, filing system, right. And get a computer to his house to, you know, because he's new, and, you know, sort of these logistics, you know, sort of get in the way. But, you know, it's really, again, sort of what I spend my time with, which is literally getting on a phone call, working through spreadsheets with him, you know, really trying to teach him about what it is, and introduce him. And, you know, he's had to do a lot where I say, well, you know, Chris Smith will have this information. And he's like, I don't know Chris Smith yet. I said, well, here's the directory. Start making phone calls, right? And so there's a lot more, I think, that individually people have to do also to, and I think encourage everybody on the phone, you know, in this time, people don't have a problem with you calling them. You know, you don't have to do it, you don't have to get on FaceTime every time, but really trying to search out how to get your information is sometimes more challenging. You know, I think it's important to know that you can still do that, and you should do that, because it's been interesting watching a new person try to join our firm in the midst of all this, where he's never been in the office, doesn't know anyone, doesn't know any procedures. He didn't even know how to set up a meeting, right? So I said, you know, set up a meeting, and I didn't even think about it. And he, you know, figured out how to get his own Zoom account. I'm like, no, wait, stop. We have a whole corporate thing about that. So I think, you know, just trying to spend the time with folks, is really important. And I think, you know, I don't think anyone should feel afraid to reach out to your manager or anyone, you know, cause everybody, like we said, is in different space. So, you know, I've had weeks where I think I'm just playing whack-a-mole the whole week, trying to put the fire out, but at the same time, you know, it's our responsibility to give everyone who works with us and our colleagues the space and time to ask questions and feel like they can, you know, expand, or if they have issues, to talk also. I try to do one-on-one with someone every week. So I'm always trying to reach out at least once or twice a week with everyone, to make sure that they are, you know, need help. They need some aspects. So, you know, and that's my personal way, but if you're not getting that from your manager or, you know, sort of who you're reporting to, you should be able to feel like you should be able to reach out or reach out to someone else to help get that information. Cause, you know, this kind of work from home, sometimes meetings, you know, these kind of Zoom things can be isolating if you don't know how to navigate through and your company hasn't necessarily done a good job of having these kind of happy hour lunches and happy hour dinners. I mean, we're going to do a development management meeting and we're organizing, don't tell anyone, we're organizing alcohol to be delivered and we're going to do like a whiskey tasting. So, yeah, Yuzel likes that one. I'm not a whiskey. I was asking everybody if I could bring my mango margarita to this lunchtime, which I got permission, but it's a little too early yet. But I think you should be able to reach out to, you know, to anyone and sort of help navigate, because I think that's one of the more difficult things in a mentoring situation.
I think that goes back to, you know, figuring out the right way to communicate with people, and maybe it's not sending an email, or because something gets lost in translation. If I say that, I think everybody understands it. Monique's point of like saying it and then re-saying it another way, or reminding everybody at the end of the conversation that we have to do something. I think, yeah, Catherine, how are you?
I was just almost opposite of Katrina. Like everything was like Zoom, GoTo, BlueJeans, blah, blah. And I was sound like, you know, I can actually pick up the phone, right? I didn't lose my ability to pick up the phone and talk one-on-one. So you have to sort of watch what you're doing relative to all this technology being thrown at you.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, my experience has been similar in terms of trying to find a way to be more, get that closeness and be more, you know, show my, you know, being empathetic. And I think when you do video calls, you can, the reactions or gestures is a little comes across better than just sending an email. And not only the fact that, you know, in your email accounts, you get a lot of work in between, but to actually kind of checking on your team on like a little more close level than I think always a phone call or even a video call, if, you know, if they're up to it, goes a long way. Yes, I am client right now. I have like a 2 younger engineers that I'm overlooking, and yes, it's kind of, it's been kind of like trying to find their way to, you know, to getting to know a little more, to see what they're into it. So I can, you know, talking about kids is not their thing for sure. or, you know, or trying to find out what they're doing to keep themselves. Some of them live in apartments, so they don't have a patio or like things like that to kind of, you know, release themselves and you know, and find outside time. So it really takes a little more time to kind of get to know them across these platforms, which it takes an adjustment, you know, to kind of use for them to feel comfortable using it too. And, you know, and then why you take this and try to, and the ideas that you're trying, Jane, about, you know, about how when you were young, that's amazing. That's great. I didn't think about that because it really opens conversation to kind of getting to know them different level. But yeah, it's definitely a little more, you have to change your mindset on how to guide them. And, but the bottom line is that we have to have those lines of communications pretty open. And, you know, and be able to, you know, that, okay, whatever means you need to just reach out and, you know, be open to help and be open to listen. A lot of listening.
I don't know if anybody else is, got interns joining them this summer. We have interns starting in a couple weeks and everyone's having this conversation of like, well, what is this internship going to look like? And it's a completely different kind of setup. Katrina, I see you shaking your head. How are you guys kind of preparing for this?
So we actually had an orientation training yesterday afternoon where HR brought a lot of us up to speed who are going to be managing summer associates. We call interns summer associates. How their experience will be different this year than it was last year. And part of it is instead of being a 12-week program, in some cases it's contracted to be an 8-week program. And we've decided to divide those 8 weeks into a virtual immersive experience and then a physical immersive experience. And the virtual one is going to be very heavy on training and supporting teams and business units and departments through a lot of digital work. And then to the extent that is practicable and safe for those that can get out onto job sites and become part of that rotation that Monique was talking about, have them experience that next. But yeah, we've had to completely rethink the way that we were going to do that.
I know a lot of the internship program is, you know, how do you kind of get a sense for the company and how we do business? And that's been a struggle for us. How do we communicate what our company culture is like when we're all apart? So that has been a really interesting dynamic that we've been talking through as a company and figuring out, like, we're a fun place to work. How do we make sure people understand that when we can't go to happy hour, we can't go to a Nats game, we can't go do, you know, fun team bonding things because nothing's open.
Well, we sent them whiskey. That's awesome.
You know, one thing is one of my colleagues and I were talking about how we are going to invite our summer associate to participate in some of our regular team weekly check-in calls. We have a series of design managers and architects in my team right now. And we talk every Monday and Thursday at 4 o'clock for an hour. And we just check in on how everyone's doing, what they're working on, what they need help with, or just need to bounce ideas off of. And typically I probably would not have had the summer associate join those conversations, but I think I'm purposefully going to pull her into it. Not because there's anything specifically for her to do with what the other people are working on, but to observe the interaction and what we're talking about and the values that could communicated through what we're focusing on. So that's one way that, fingers crossed, I mean, I'll let you know at the end of August how that worked out, but that's my plan for how to try and manage that with the young lady that's going to be starting with me June 1.
Monique, are you guys going to be doing anything different out on your site for your summer intern?
We are, so interestingly enough, knowing that we have these folks onboarding pretty soon, we actually made a schedule and said, okay, to the same challenge, like, how do we show you guys that we are cool to work for and with, and it's not Hollywood Squares. Like, it's more than that. So every week we are kind of setting them up with a different person. So like their first week is with our safety manager, and then that it's actually a combo with our field engineers, so they can get that kind of sense of sight, because we're at a good phase of work for that. And then the next week we are pairing them with our innovation folks, because the stage of the job we're at, we're starting to think about coordinated drawings and, you know, bringing other trades on board for that. So that also helps us show that front end department, so they have a sense for how it works on a job site and how it works in the office. But we're also concerned, because summer associates, like, honestly, they can kind of get the short end of the stick, like, if you're not paying attention, because they don't know anything, right? To a certain extent, like, they either don't know the job that they're on, they don't know the people they're with. So we have been having pretty, like, intense, almost like war room conversations of, how do we check in? Like, how do we make sure that they do not have the alone on an island concept? So we've been sprinkling in different things. Like, we have a team call every afternoon, so they're going to be on that. They've been assigned an icebreaker every other week from, like, something they learned. Like, so if they were with our virtual design people, like, then create an icebreaker for our team, because that's actually also helping our team, because we've been in the, you know, the virtual meeting so long that you can spice it up as much as you want, but you need something new. So now we're going to also use this person and pull them in to, like, make it new for us too. But yeah, it's going to be constant, just check in and make sure you're not on, like, Gilligan's Island. Like, are you okay?
So one of the other things that I wanted to touch on was burnout. I feel like people are canceling vacations. People are, you know, if you're at home, there's no, like, oh, it's 5 o'clock, I gotta leave so I don't get stuck in traffic. There's no traffic between, like, your office and your refrigerator for happy hour, right? So what are you guys doing? And I'll throw this out to any of our panelists who have a great idea or feel strongly about it. What are you doing to kind of help yourself beat burnout, and or help your people, that help your teams kind of beat that challenge there?
It's crickets for me. I was going to say, if you're looking at me, it's crickets for me.
The person who's on a conference call at 1 o'clock.
I'm the worst. One thing I've learned is I'm the worst. This has been really hard for me. And it's in due part because I am so overconnected, and because the people that I work with are all over the world, time doesn't really matter. It's whatever time is available, whatever spot they see empty on my calendar, it's absorbed. So it doesn't really matter. The only thing that has been bestowed upon me to avoid burnout is my wife opens the door and lets the puppies run wild in the room, and I have absolutely no choice but to slow down. And I have windows right in front of me. I'm actually facing two windows in a backyard, and it's beautiful. I see the sunset, I see the sunrise, and it doesn't matter. So I welcome other panelists sharing their phenomenal burnout ideas, because I'm close to being a phoenix, hopefully rising from the ashes from my complete and utter burnout. But I don't know how to say no, because I've recognized in this connectedness the opportunities that I'm afforded that would have never happened. So it's a double-edged sword, and you know, you're kind of flying the plane as you're building it, at least for me. But I know, hopefully, that is not the case for anybody else. And y'all have figured it out.
Well, I think it's where everybody is in their own space. I see, actually, there's a couple of people who have their pictures on, and we've been enjoying the young children that have actually, I always like to, because I like kids, but enjoying the young kids that have popped into this screen, showing, you know, super women in the world. So, but I think that, you know, for me, one of the things is I always got up in the morning, no matter what I did. My one ritual was I got up in the morning, I went to the gym. There's no gym. And I'm a big spinner. And I'm also didn't really want to spend the money for a Peloton. And so, you know, I picked up other things. I now back into yoga, which I try to do, doing a lot of walking, and actually finally bought a cheaper spin bike. But I think, you know, trying to find some of the rituals that help you, and it's a process. If you're an exerciser, you know, really try to get that exercising in. I'm a firm believer of getting up and taking a shower and putting my work, effectively work clothes. I have jeans on, which are not my work clothes, but putting some clothes on, not walking around in fuzzy slippers. I know people love their fuzzy slippers. It's like the top thing on Amazon right now is fuzzy slippers. But really sort of dressing for the day to an extent. So you feel like you're productive in your productive mode. That has helped me. And I know, you know, I joke around also that it seems like, and I hate beards, seems like beards are the thing for 2020. But trying to find your rituals that you had and trying to the greatest extent to sort of make them sacrosanct, right? Don't give them up. And I think the hardest people I've seen on and people who are really, you know, everybody's got their struggles. And I had a issue this morning that I'm really mad at myself, and I'm, you know, sort of, I lost it. You know, so sort of, you know, everybody's got their balance that is really hard to keep on. But I think taking a few of the things that you find precious, whether it's, you know, going to sit outside or taking 5 minutes, you know, particularly for working moms with the younger, you know, I think the elementary age, what I'm seeing struggling the most and really admiring their ability to balance is the elementary age parents. Generally, you know, moms always take more on their backs, as enlightened husbands as you might have, and really trying to figure out how do you find something that you can do that, you know, benefits you, because, you know, it's a big load. I mean, you can throw a high school kid, whether they're going to pay attention or not, into a you know, their high school, whatever. But, you know, the elementary students are getting an hour maybe, and then it really is left to the parents to do. So trying to find those little nuggets, I think, and whatever that is, and hopefully not too many mango margaritas, but I must say I'm getting fresh mangoes and my mango margaritas are fabulous right now. But little, you know, little nuggets that you can do. I'm going to have a big mango margarita party at some point in my life. But little nuggets that you can do that you can actually sort of take that and say, you know, this is my 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour of my day that you can sort of recharge yourself, because it's really exhausting. I find this exhausting.
Can I share? So I went through a self-reflection grumpy stage two in the last week, where I am burnt out to the max right now. I had plans with my husband and my kids to go to that getaway house in Shenandoah for spring break, and then the whole prison to hospital thing happened, and so we did not go. Plus, you know, COVID. And then my sister's wedding, which is supposed to be June 20th, got postponed, and my family trip to Scotland, which we were going to go on the 25th of June to July 11th, got postponed. And so, like, I have nothing to look forward to. And this has really got me down. So I have become a porch sitter, which sounds boring, but for me, it's fantastic, because my girls learned how to ride their bikes in the last month. And I mean, out of necessity, like, everybody is on wheeled machines outside, if it's a skateboard or a scooter or a bike. And so my kids just go up and down the sidewalk, and I look like I'm convalescing on my porch, because I have my tea and a blanket, and I'm just sitting there, and I put a wind chime up that I had for 15 years. It was a wedding gift, and it was in the basement, and I never hung it up. So I hung it up, and now I have a little acoustic. And then I also thought about, like, the ritual piece that you're talking about, Jane. There, I don't know why this popped into my head, but when I used to live in Alexandria, there was this little tea shop in Old Town, and they had this amazing cinnamon orange tea And for some reason, I just thought about one day, I was like, I'm going to buy a ridiculous quantity of that tea and just have it shipped to my house, which is ridiculous, but I'm going to do it. And so I had this monstrous bag of tea, loose tea, shipped to my house. So every day at one, I make myself a little pot of my special tea, and then I sit on the porch. And then I go back to work. But it's just little breaks like that to get some fresh air, and that's what I need.
I will say, this is my happy thing. My cat joins me every once in a while. So I sit on conference calls, and I randomly will get very distracted, and my cat's just sitting in my lap, or she'll look at me, and she's like, I need pets. So that's my, like, mellow. And I'm working from home, but my husband goes into work every day. And so he's my, like, clock. He's my, like, I don't want to get stuck in traffic. He comes in and he's like, let's go take a walk. It's time to go. Like, shut your computer down. Yesterday he was yelling at me. He's like, stop working. It's time for dinner. Okay. Yeah. Catherine, are you, as another young mom who's got kids and an extra burden to bear?
Yeah, so I have have two boys, a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. Yeah, so it's like you never stop. so I had to try different things to see what works the best. And one of them is that I wake up super early, I mean, 5 a.m, and then, it's kind of bright outside by that time, by 5:30 or so, and just take the dog for a walk and, you know, and take a cup of coffee. So just kind of take my time in the morning because nobody's up. So that for me is kind of my ritual that has helped me, just keep a little time for myself and before, you know, I go and just never stop. I think it has helped. My husband works partially from home and partially he goes out to work. So that has helped a lot because when he's here, you know, I mean, it's not about just deal with him. That's the way it is, and it's been great to see that as we work through these challenges, some days are better, some days are worse, and that's another thing you have to be willing to take, to acknowledge that you know it's not gonna come up perfect, and it doesn't define if you just had a bad day. That's how to give, you know, some leeway to just some things are not going to come true. But I think setting your priorities and things that must come, you know, and at least a daily basis or on a weekly basis, it gives you that sense of accomplishment, which helps me to know that, okay, you know, I said this my day and, some things I should not let go and need to accomplish. I try to make that happen. And some, you know, other things, you know, I just try to be better next time I have a chance. I think we have to have the mindset that it's you're human, you know, you're not going to be able to do everything.
Yeah, I think we do a daily, just like 30-minute staff check-in. And one of the things you can very easily tell is when someone's like, I have so much stuff to do, right? Like it's more of a, hey, what's going on today? What are you working on? What do you need help with? And one of the things that I think in recent weeks has come up is, hey, why don't you just take Friday off? Like, get away from your computer. Maybe it's nice out. I know you really can't go anywhere, but just take the day and have the day. Like, don't worry about your emails. And Katrina, that resonates with me. I have canceled vacations and all kinds of things. I was supposed to go to Scotland this year. That's not happening. So I think it's just being able to encourage people that, like, even if you're not going anywhere, being able to take a day for you away from your computer, unplugged, is really important, because otherwise I feel like it's really easy to get into that mentality of like, I don't have anywhere to go, so I might as well be working.
Something that I wanted to highlight now that I hear all these comments definitely resonate. There is sort of an acknowledgement, and you're probably seeing this in the news more, that the second wave of a pandemic, particularly this one, because it is global, is the mental health pandemic, and is the issue that we as people will have, like personally, professionally, and within the industry. And that is resonating with me because it's starting to kind of snowball and it's starting to become a big conversation. But something that I just want to throw it out there, because I know we're running out of time. We were having a conversation about flexible work hours, and some companies do core hours, some call flexibility, just talk to your manager and do things. And we were having a conversation about summer hours, and somebody said, why would you have summer hours? You're working from home. And I think there needs to be education and an overall conversation that when you are at home working, you are at home working, and likely you're working more than you ever have in your life. And considering summer hours is an acknowledgement and an intention by a firm or by an organization and saying, we recognize that working from home is just as hard as being in the office, maybe worse, depending on your circumstance at home. And let's put the intention and give you space that as a policy, we are acknowledging that we still need respite and we need a pause. And it should be part of a policy of flexible work hours and a flexible space moving forward. And I know a lot of firms and a lot of organizations are starting to rethink flexible work. But I sort of the invitation for me is to consider what it really means to work from home, acknowledge what it means to work from home throughout the spectrum of how we all work, which is incredibly varied, and say it's not just enough to say, sure, you can talk to your project manager, because then you're at the expense of that person. You should be intentional and put a stake in the ground and acknowledge that not everybody is the same, and not every manager is the same. But as a company, if you place an intention and create a policy that acknowledges flexibility at its core, then you set the behaviors that you want to promote in a firm. So I thought it kind of shocked me, and I don't know what triggered when somebody said, oh, I'm not going to give you summer hours. You're working from home. I'm like, that is not one and the same in any shape or form. And I think we can do better. So always the mental health pandemic resonates, because it's, you don't know how to measure it and nobody knows. And it's kind of a secret said out loud. And it's something that we need to be really mindful of.
I think there is an added level of stress on everyone, whether it's just dealing with, you know, being on site and this added level of, I have to check for face masks. I have to make sure people are socially distancing themselves. I have a COVID case on my site. I need to sanitize I'm working at home. I have kids at home. Whatever. There's different, I feel like everyone's busier than ever. And I think there's a positive side to being considered an essential business and an essential industry at this point in time, where we don't have to worry about our jobs, because that's a different level of stress that luckily we don't have to deal with. But the flip side of that is we have to go to work, go to work every day. We have to make sure things are still happening. And so I think being able to give people the space they need to deal with the stress and deal with their work hours is something we all kind of really need to be mindful of. And so I think with that, we're kind of right at our time. Unfortunately, we could probably talk for hours, but be mindful of everybody has a lot to do. One thing I will leave you all with is it's a 3-day weekend. Enjoy the 3-day weekend however you can, and be sure to actually unplug for that extra day, is what I will encourage all of you to do. So thank you for joining us. I hope you got something out of this discussion, and good luck.
Sarah, before we all sign off, can we see the full spectrum of all of your cards? Giselle, can we see all the cards? I want to see what you got. Plus one. Look at that. Okay.
The plus one was the first one.
Oh, I love these.
She drew them. I'll just give her that credit.
And my favorite that I rarely use. And I wrote that one, and I know we're kind of over, is when we started talking about the reentry to work, especially around the DMV, my big question was, why? Let's really discuss the why. Particularly when somebody like me, do I need to go back to work? Do I need to go back to the office to work? So this one is the one that I use the least, and I kind of leave it on the side, but it's just the one that I usually want to use the most. But the latest from a conversation yesterday, and I kind of love it, and it's very appropriate for today, is I love these conversations. So I'm very grateful that we are able to create the space and the intention for it. These are my sort of women on fire. I love it. So thank you.
Thank you.
I think our other takeaway is sending people alcohol for a bourbon tasting.
Oh my gosh, that is the best.
I actually organized a wine tasting too, which the California Vineyards will do. So there's a number of California vineyards. You organize it. They send the wine out. You need 2 weeks, and you Zoom in with a member of the staff at the winery, and they will do a wine tasting for you.
That's amazing.
I feel like our next call needs to be, let's talk to Jane about everything that she does, and let's figure out how to get in it.
District Winery in BC also does virtual tastings.
Yeah.
I think anybody wants to know. So one thing, Jane, call Barbara. She has digital platforms for you and also has questions about the bourbon tasting. So.
Okay. Got it, Barbara. I need that thumbs up, Giselle.
Yeah.
So Giselle, I have one more for you. So I don't know if this is just kids doing this, but my two girls in school, they're teaching them to do this. If they're resonating with something that someone's saying, meaning like, I get you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Pinky. So there's a lot of like this going on in my kids' learning right now. But yeah, that's another cute one.
Yeah, I don't know how to draw that one.
That's a hard
thing. Okay, I can just do
kind of like, yeah, it's like shaking back and forth to the camera. So it's like, I see you. You know, I get you right now.
It's better than. My girl, so that's a good one. I like it. Thank you. I'll figure that one out.
All right. Hi, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks,
everybody.
Everyone.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.